I'm not an angel, but she's a demon. She took my heart and soul and left me screaming.
Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Dromney. If you still use Twitter, tweet at one of us. Give us your movie suggestion for next week. It is your movie next week. We already probably have the movie we're going to watch, assuming all three of us can get Tubi, whatever the fuck Tubi is. So, yeah, we'll see. Also, join our Discord, the Sports Brewery on Discord. Debo set it up. It's great. You can give your suggestions in there, too. Find us on YouTube. Search the Sports Brewery. All that good shit.
If you ever want to learn about niche Eugene sports radio callers, join the Discord.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, shout out to Rick Nodgers. Turns 30 this week. We were given some inside information about how we used to do a radio show back in the day, like an actual radio show. Good shit. This movie this week is my movie. It is Ghostbusters. It is from 1984. It is currently, along with the other Ghostbusters movies, on HBO Max. It has a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. 7.8 out of 10 on IMDb, 71% on Metacritic. Everything you remember about this movie, you know what? It's from Ghostbusters 2. That's what I realized while watching this movie. All right. Let's get into who's in this movie. You know who's in this movie.
So glad you said that.
I'm saying we'll get into it.
Is this Hot Shots do in one kind of
1000%
scenario here?
1000%. Yep. Everything you remember from that one is in the other one. Bill Murray, Peter Venkman, Dan Aykroyd, Raymond Stantz, Harold Ramis, Egon Spengler, Ernie Hudson, Winston Zeddemore, Sigourney Weaver, Dana Barrett, Rick Moranis, Louis Tully, Annie Potts, Janine Melnitz, and William Atherton plays the EPA agent, Walter Peck. Don't call me Peck. Written by Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. Apparently Rick Moranis has like an uncredited like writing contribution too. I guess he helped or something. I wasn't able to find that anywhere other than IMDb, which listed him as like uncredited.
Could have been a rewrite. Could have helped maybe the rewrite or something.
Maybe. Or just like doing ad lib shit, which totally makes sense.
You throw in some like Canadian things, eh?
Yeah.
Bring Rick Moranis in.
I mean, how cool is it? You started writing Ghostbusters while your kids were shrunk in your backyard.
Yeah.
Writing bees and fighting ants for Oreos.
Doesn't it seem like you should have been focusing on saving your kids at the time?
Yeah, I don't know. Seriously, Rick. Like
neglectful parenting, Rick.
He invented that.
Yeah. By the way, if like calling Rick Moranis a neglectful parent is hilarious. We literally quit Hollywood to be a parent. Movie directed by Ivan Reitman. Also directed Meatballs, Stripes, Twins, Kindergarten Cop.
Beethoven, maybe?
No Strings Attached. And his
Beethoven last, the third.
The last movie he directed was Draft Day with Kevin Costner.
That's how we went out?
So, yeah.
Yep. Budget for this movie, between $25 and $30 million. Box office for this movie, $295.2 million.
I didn't know Ivan Reitman was dead.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a year or two ago, right?
Last February.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. His son, also a very like accomplished director at this point, too.
And I believe this movie is the third highest grossing movie ever when you take like inflation into it.
Makes sense. The 1984 getting $300 million in the box office is insane. Reading up a little bit, this movie began as an idea by Aykroyd, in which he and John Belushi would venture through time and space battling supernatural threats. That was how it was going to be made. And then Belushi died in 1982. And so he ended up hiring Ramis to help him rewrite the entire movie. I believe there was like something about like the studios couldn't actually accommodate the
Their original script was supposed to be, you know, there's like a police department and a fire department, like in every city in America. There was also a ghost busting department. So they were like everywhere. It wasn't just like this one.
Okay.
And in the studio said, we can't spend this much money to do this insane idea you have.
And also Belushi died. So it sort of changed the focus. It's like, okay, we got to redo this. And they redid it into this. Which spawned a humongous fucking one. They got the box office, but like they went into, you know, spinoff cartoons, spinoff like actual TV shows, you know, more movies, and just millions and billions of dollars.
To back up on an earlier point, he was the executive producer, but it wasn't for Beethoven the Third.
Oh,
it was
not
just for Beethoven and Beethoven second. He skipped on Beethoven the Third.
Damn.
Now, see, I knew he wasn't the director.
People want to call this man a genius.
You're missing out the best one. What are you doing?
I mean, who doesn't want to work with Charles Grodin? I mean, come on.
And
a big Saint Bernard.
The ultimate curmudgeon.
I mean, come on.
I mean, come on.
Come on, man.
As you brought up the entire franchise, you know what thing I realized in this movie is that Slimer is not actually called Slimer. That was only in the animated cartoon.
The cartoon, yep.
Yeah, I always figured he was Slimer still, but I guess he wasn't.
I always knew him as Onion Head.
Onion Head, yeah.
They called him Onion Head. Yeah. The theme song for this movie, Ray Parker Jr., was a number one hit in that year.
He also got sued to oblivion by Huey Lewis.
I do love that we all know him as Slimer, but they're like, but he's really called Onion Head or the Ugly Green Monster. Because that just totally, the Ugly Green Ghost, which totally rolls off the tongue.
Rolls off the tongue. It's perfect. Yep.
Yeah.
God. So I know we're gonna grade this thing at the end. We're not gonna get into like our, you know, final thoughts about it, but I did mention it like first thing when we started. Everything that I thought was gonna be in this movie is actually in the second movie. I was watching this movie and I didn't remember a lot of the shit. Like the Sigourney Weaver, like turning into the dog and shit like that. I did not remember any of that. And then, you know, the David Bowie monster at the end. I'm like, what? Where did this come from? Like, what is that? Is that like the Illuminati triangle in that doorway? Like, what's happening here? I didn't remember any of that shit. So apparently, the only Ghostbusters movie I actually watched was the second
one. Two.
Crazy.
Were you just waiting for the toaster to start jumping around and dancing?
Blew my mind. And like the really creepy painting and like, oh, man.
Is that Vigo? Was that who that was?
Vigo.
Yeah. Yeah. And like,
see, Annie, I thought you would remember
Potts and Rick Moranis being all cute together and shit. It's like, come on, man.
I thought you would remember the Stay Puft Marshmallow, man. I thought was like, is like the most iconic thing from this franchise.
And that's
it. Is it though?
I think so. Yeah,
Slimer.
From the movies, at least.
You're right.
From the movies.
Yeah. You're right. I'm trying to make a false argument, but you're right. You're right.
I don't think he is. I think at the time, like the marketing thing was to Stay Puft because it's like, oh shit, it's a huge marshmallow walking through New York City. Whatever. Slimer's the bigger star. Like Slimer's the takeaway because they made him the star of the cartoon. And then the cartoon blew up, and that's all the shit we remember. I remember the second movie in the cartoon. That's it. Apparently, because I don't remember anything from this movie.
So apparently, man. So you missed out that like Winston is like barely in this movie.
Barely in the movie.
So I did a little deep. So they first offered this to Eddie Murphy to be Winston, and you know he was supposed to come early in the movie and, you know, be like a main figure. And then when Eddie passed on it, someone had the idea, we're just going to really focus on Bill Murray in the first half of this movie. Then we're not going to introduce him later. Like, he had a whole backstory and stuff. But
clearly, you have to establish Bill Murray as like a poon hound. Who, like, that's literally a
little
only...
He gets a little rapey there, doesn't he?
A little rapey.
I mean, like, date rape drug or there.
By the way, you mentioned coming early in the movie. Did Dan Aykroyd get blown by a ghost?
He definitely did. I don't remember that scene also, yeah. I
definitely don't remember that scene.
Yeah. I think we were just a little too young to remember it, to know what that was.
Yeah, like.
Well, I mean, we definitely were.
When this movie came out.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just born.
Oh, I was going to say, I saw Ghostbusters 2 before I saw the first one.
Yeah, yeah. That happened.
Hang on.
We're not going to move past that yet. Dan Aykroyd got blown by a ghost. That happened, right? Yeah.
Red Grange.
Red Grange. What the fuck?
Come on, man.
The galloping
ghost. Come on,
man. Come on, man.
The galloping ghost, man.
Legend, man. Hey, man, he's a legend. Nobody's going to know what we're talking about.
This is such a stupid bit we're doing.
The best bit you've come up with, though, I think, going forward at least. But I guess you wouldn't have remembered everyone just sucking down heaters then in the movie. People are smoking nonstop in this.
I
think Aykroyd has a heater in his mouth the whole time.
He does, and I was going to mention that for Larry King too. When they like smoking it. Larry King in the radio studio with a heater. That was amazing.
Because I don't think they're smoking in the second one. So, yeah, it's a big, big difference there.
1984 to 1989 was the time jump there. People realized that cigarettes actually kill you. And that was the...
Can you do the Larry King hello in the shitty John Gruden voice? Hello, man.
Hooters, hello.
Hello.
St. Peter's...
Hey, man.
St. Petersburg Hooters, hello.
Jerry Seinfeld. Hello. Hey,
get some wings, man. You gotta stop. I know. The whole Ghostbusters podcast will just be that.
Dan Aykroyd, man.
Elite. Spider-Y banana. Shock, man? He's like a scientist. It's great. Oh my god. All right, let's see. Going down my list here. Early in the movie, Sigourney Weaver, first time we see her, she gets out of a taxi, does a classic movie move from the 80s, just walks into traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Cars will stop for you.
Like, by the way, just anytime you watch a movie in a city, like, pay attention for that, because it cracks me up every single time I see it. Like, Sigourney Weaver gets out of the car, has a bag of groceries in her hand, walks behind the car, and just walks into the street. Like, it's New York City, busy street, cars slam on their brakes. She just walks and she's like, okay. And then just keeps walking. God, every time that happens in a movie, it's hilarious to me. Runs into Rick Moranis. I think one of the best parts of this movie was Rick Moranis when he was taken over by the gargoyle creature thing. Like, Rick Moranis, like, possessed is hilarious and very, like, legitimately, like, arguably some of the only funny moments in this movie, because Bill Murray had a couple, but it got kind of old after a bit. But like, Moranis,
I mean, that was classic, like, 80s Bill Murray, though. That's how his humor was then. That's how he was in Stripes too, you know. Spies Like Us, he had the same humor with him in all those movies in the 80s. But yes, and I guarantee those are all...
Are you saying Bill Murray is a one-trick pony? Is that your opinion on Bill Murray? It sounds like it is.
I mean, in the 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
You ever ridden a pony, man?
And the other thing in the 80s is somehow, like, Bill Murray was like a sex symbol in the movies as well. He was always supposed to be like the good looking guy that, like, gets all the chicks.
The 80s were like the ugliest decade
by far.
I'm sure the 40s, 30s, and 20s were worse, but like post bubonic plague, at least the 50s and the 60s and the 70s had, you can mock some of it, but the 80s, they were just like, Bill Murray's sex symbol. No, not really.
For men, though, because I mean, Sigourney and Annie Potts, very good looking in the 80s still.
And Annie Potts was, as the kids say, Annie Potts was a vibe, man. Like, Annie Potts was legit. Like, yeah. Give me everything Annie Potts was offering in the 80s. Give me all of it. I'll take it. I
popped that plant, man.
Yeah. What kind of plant are we talking about, eh?
Oh, what was it?
I gotta stop.
All right. Interesting. Another little interesting fact I dug up. So, John Candy was picked for this role to be Rick Moranis' character.
Oh.
And apparently John Candy had the idea his character would be German and would have two dogs. And the writers are like, we already have like a dog theme and like a German guy is just weird. So they just like got rid of John Candy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So it was, had Candy been big yet? Like in 84? Or like when they were making this, which was probably like 82.
I mean, I feel like Uncle Buck might have been
I think it was all later. Yeah, I don't think he was big yet.
Yeah, was even Planes, Trains, and Automobiles out at that point?
No.
No, I don't think so. That was, yeah, Aykroyd is definitely later Aykroyd.
So, you know what? Like, he might have been comparable to Moranis. Because I think they were in like the same comedy troupe and like, I almost wonder.
SCTV.
Yeah, SCTV, exactly. So, They hadn't made their big hits yet.
I called that the Goof Troop, man.
Troop.
I was definitely thinking the Great Outdoors with Aykroyd instead of Planes, Trains. Not it. But I agree with you. I think Moranis is the funniest person in the movie.
Yeah, kind of the standout guy in the movie. I think clearly they made the movie around Bill Murray, and Bill Murray is the star of the movie. But like, I think Moranis like stood out more to me after watching the movie.
Yeah, Aykroyd actually might have been the funniest character, but it was kind of throwing digs at him, not him really being funny with it.
Sure, or Ramis too. Like Ramis had his moments, but yeah, I think consistently, just he's a goofy ass character. That's the point. So he's great. He's good. Like, by the way, Sigourney Weaver, like, was some pretty good stuff too. Just like having to act possessed. Oh, she did pretty good.
I mean, this might have been like the only comedy she was ever in.
The foil to Bill Murray. Yeah. I guess. I mean, Bill Murray like ends up winning her over somehow. I guess saving her life was a pretty good thing, but you know.
It wasn't just him though. It was a team effort.
Sure was. If anyone, I'm going after Winston. If anyone in that scenario.
Yeah.
You give me those four guys? Sorry, it's Winston every time.
I think Egon's the guy.
Yeah. By the way,
Egon's like packing heat or something down there.
No, he's affable. He's got that that quality where you can make someone laugh.
By the way, second Ghostbusters movie. Do re Egon. Second Ghostbusters movie. Not this movie. God damn. All these things I was like expecting to see in this movie didn't happen because they're in the second one.
Well, this movie did also have, I would say it was a trope of the 80s. You needed a black cop. Who did you hire in the 80s to play someone as a police officer of some kind?
Reginald B. Johnson?
Exactly who you hired.
America's TV father and part-time cop.
And part-time cop.
Yep.
So every movie.
Die Hard he was in, right?
Yep.
It was in Die Hard, yep.
What was the other one?
I mean, he was in Family Matters where he was a cop.
Where he was a cop, yeah. You...
Quap.
Fucking Quap. Let's see. Die Hard 2.
When was the last time you guys had seen this movie?
Oh. I'll say
40 years.
I'll say a good 10 plus years ago.
Yeah. It's more than that for me.
I'm sure I had seen it at some point when I did like a Ghostbuster 2 type thing watch. Cause I've seen I remember seeing Ghostbusters 2 more recently than this one, but I had to have watched him at an adjacent time. Cause
yeah,
you should watch one and then the other. Cause I almost just threw on Ghostbusters 2 right when I finished watching.
I did too, man. I watched it late last night. If it wasn't so late, I absolutely would have just started the second one because I was like, I had blue balls, man. I was like, I want to see all the Ghostbusters shit that I was expecting to see. I didn't see any of it. Like, I can't, because, you know, like, why would I watch Ghostbusters 2 now? Like, I need an excuse to watch Ghostbusters 2, and that was it. So, shit, maybe I'll just watch it. Maybe I'll watch it with the kid and be like, this is Ghostbusters 1. This is...
All right, so do your rankings of the Ghostbusters movies then. Is 2 your number one then?
Kind of got to be, right? So I haven't seen the new one. I've heard the new one's really good.
Like, I haven't seen it either, but have you seen these two? And then have you seen the all female cast one as well?
No. Cause why would I?
No,
no.
Whoa.
I heard it was terrible. Like literally everybody said it was terrible. Hey,
it was not good. Up,
yeah. Do you not want to get canceled, man?
Take it from me, man.
Take it from me, man. I know.
Yeah, take it from me.
I will
some
say
leaders anymore, man.
That's too spicy.
It was the writing for that.
Too spicy, man. Can't say it. That's spicy like these Hooters wings.
So I will say the 2016 all-female cast of Ghostbusters is the worst one.
Okay.
By a lot.
Okay. The 84 again, Ghostbusters is second. The 2021 one, Afterlife, is better than the 84 one.
Okay.
Is it?
I'm going to say that with confidence. I'm going to plant my flag there.
I've heard Afterlife is good. Like it's Paul Rudd, right?
Yeah.
I've heard that movie's good, and I did enjoy it.
I did enjoy it. But right. Ghostbusters 2 is the best of the franchise.
Yeah, it kind of has to be. For all of the reasons I was expecting this movie to be. no spoiler for our score for this movie.
This movie did probably about at least probably a third, if not a half, of the movie was just setting up them becoming the Ghostbusters. Kind of took away from.
Yes, in hindsight,
second one is jump right in. You know, they go right away.
Yeah, in hindsight, you kind of know that they had a second one conceptually lined up because the first one was so slow, like getting into.
Well, you know, I'll say like yes, you're not wrong, but like. When they became the Ghostbusters, it was like overnight. So they take
montaged.
Takes out the mortgage, buys the building, and then like a week later, they have costumes and they're like legitimately going to places to bust ghosts and putting them in the thing and like overnight celebrities. They're on the magazines, like TV news is doing reports about them, which was big in the 80s. Larry King was talking about them on his radio show, which apparently he didn't have his TV show yet in the 80s too. Like, yeah, it was weird. Like that sort of caught me too, is like, there wasn't a hell of a lot of like setup to them becoming Ghostbusters. Like it was very like, this happens, then this happens, then this happens. And then they're in a banquet hall, like destroying the place, catching ghosts. I was like, shit. Okay. All right. I guess ghosts are real. And they're catching them. We don't really need a lot of backstory about why ghosts are real. Okay.
Well, it's because Gozer's coming, so it bumped Gozer's up all coming. The paranormal activity happening.
So, like, I don't remember. Did they explain why there are still ghosts after Gozer came back and was then vanquished?
Because ghosts are real still.
Okay. All right. Just made ghosts real. Okay.
I mean, why are all the ghosts there in number two? Because of the river of ooze down below? In that's the true. Sewers, isn't
God? That's another thing. Is them going down in the sewer with the ooze? It's like, where's my ooze, man? The pink ooze.
It wasn't called ooze though. What was it called? Ectoplasm.
Ectoplasm. Yeah.
Ectoplasm.
I think you're confusing ooze with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles too.
Yeah.
It was a big secret
of it. The secret of it. Yeah. There's Yeah, it was a whole
Rocksteady and Bebop, boy. They didn't mess around.
The Krang. Is that the other one?
Krang. Oh, yeah. Love me some Krang. But my Game Boy, I used to beat the shit out of Krang, man.
Well, fuck, he's just a big, slow, dumb idiot. You fuck him up. And he comes out of his little brain out of the middle.
Yeah, the brain that's in the center of the body. Yeah. That is a truly deranged and insane character design, like in the history of things. It's bonkers.
80s, man.
Yeah, dude. They made they did like a remake-ish thing of the video game that was really good. That was fun. It's on Xbox right now if you want to play it.
Of which one?
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game.
Really?
Yeah, so like it was the arcade game basically, but it was on like Super Nintendo, I think. But yeah, they did like a remake of it. It's really good. It's fun. You can like play online multiplayer with friends and shit. It's great. Highly recommend. All right, anything else on this movie? Weird ending. Right? Like it was weird. It was a typical 80s ending, but like weird as shit where,
well, yeah.
Like they both, like Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver, come downstairs, like they're like they just survived an amazing thing, and they're like, hey, smiling and waving at everybody, and they just make out in front of everybody for no reason.
She kind of reluctantly seems like,
yeah,
went to kiss him. You know, at first it was kind of like a little pullback, then I was like, all right,
you
say
goodbye. I'm glad you mentioned that. Do you think that was a character decision, or that was Sigourney Weaver really not wanting to kiss Bill Murray?
It could have been Bill Murray like ad libbing kissing her at the end. She's like, what are you doing? And then like,
we're not doing that, bud. Yeah.
So you see the director going like, yeah, keep doing it, keep going, going. No, but at least they kept the, you know, theme here, very 80s music soundtrack going for this movie. I don't really remember that from the second one.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't really remember the second one. Did they have this? Did Ray Parker Jr. do the same song? He must have, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Who are you going to call Ghostbusters? That's like the point. Yeah.
I don't know how after I think he might have like lost money on making that song
just because he got sued,
because Huey Lewis did very well because of this movie.
Did he? I don't know the story.
He's one that he stole like the riff from a Huey Lewis song for this.
Oh, okay. And then Huey like proved it and then made all of the royalties that, yes, Ray Parker Jr.
essentially had
made.
Yeah,
wow, crazy. Did you notice when they were talking about, so Gozer gets turned, Gozer like turns herself into the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And so that's why the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man comes alive and starts attacking the city. Did you notice when Dan Aykroyd mentioned when he used to roast marshmallows, did you notice where he said he used to roast them?
Was it like Camp Wakanda?
It was Camp Wakanda. Yeah. Yeah.
He needs to catch some royalties from Black Panther here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get some of that Marvel money.
Yeah, exactly. Time to sue some comic book writers here real quick. Because Camp, yeah, make some money off Camp Wakanda. I was like, did he just say that shit? King T'Challa? Roasting marshmallows? Yeah. How about that shit?
By the way, I did watch Black Panther 2. It was not great.
Yeah. I saw it in the theater and left and was just kind of like, man, that was not super good.
I didn't like the first one.
I did. I liked the first one a bunch.
I watched it. It was fine. I just didn't. I didn't think it was like award winning.
Yeah, second one was. I want to watch it again, though. It's on Disney Plus now, so I want to watch it again. But when I saw it in theater, I left and was just kind of like, man, that was.
Well, if you got it in like 2 hours and 45 minutes, you want to kill.
Yeah, no.
Doesn't help. Doesn't help, dude. By the way, I could spend, like, since we're talking comic movies all of a sudden, like, I could spend an entire podcast talking about the James Gunn DC shit, but we're not going to do that. Because James Gunn just came out and said, like, his plan for the next, like, he's creating the DCU and the characters and the movies he's going to do and stuff like
that. This is a Marvel podcast, not a DC.
Oh, okay.
Seriously.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No Snyderverse here, bud.
Oh, definitely not. Snyderverse hated the Snyderverse so much he got the fuck out of the Snyderverse.
Yeah.
Here's how bad the Snyderverse is. That in the depths, in the grips of a cold, alone, scary pandemic without an answer, Zack Snyder came out with an extended version. And no one liked it. We had nowhere to go, nowhere to be, nothing to do, just not die. That was our only goal.
Yeah.
We watched the extended cut and we still didn't like it.
Like, oh my God, a new movie. All right. Oh, thank God. Oh, we're starving for a new movie. Ah. Yeah.
Well, DC Universe a little problematic right now also, isn't it? The actors.
Who?
Was it like Ezra Miller?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Wasn't Armie Hammer in something as well?
So the funny thing about that is James Gunn, like in his little announcement, he talked about the Ezra Miller Flash movie because it's Flashpoint, and like the Flashpoint comics, it literally resets the entire thing. Like the end of it resets the entire DC universe, and so like that's what he's going to use to sort of springboard everything else. So that's the point. So that might actually, and people are saying it's like this amazing movie. So Ezra Miller's last movie for sure. All right, let's grade this thing. My movie, I'll go first. What's it out of?
Is it out of four this week?
No, let's do five.
Okay.
1984, but let's do five because we're moving. Okay, I got nothing. I'm giving this movie like a 2 out of 5.
Two as well.
I didn't like this movie very much. It was okay.
You're a 2 as well, King? Man. You know, I'm not going to give it huge, but I'm still like a 3.333.
I don't see any reason to watch this movie ever again. I just want to watch 2. I left this movie thinking like, oh man, there's a better movie out there than this one. This one's kind of not good.
Hey, man. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.